Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour back in our Father's Word. Again, I want to say Ephesians being translated means permitted. Many scholars feel that the first three chapters in this book are very difficult to understand. And yet they are so simple if you understand there was an earth age before this one. Example, chapter 1, verse 4 says, I chose you before the foundations of this world, the katabo in the Greek. And that throws some people. Why would God do that? Well, it's because you stood against Satan in that first earth age. So when you take those blinders off and you look at the overall picture of God's plan, when you feed on the truth, the revelation, the mystery that God gave to Paul about that first earth age, what happened there, then certainly God's word begins to come together. So, having said that, the word of wisdom from our Father, let's take this third chapter and complete these so-called first three chapters that are so hard to understand, see what we can gain from it. Chapter 3, verse 1. Verse 1 reads with that word of wisdom from our Father, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." In other words, for being a preacher, preaching the doctrine of Jesus Christ, I'm in jail. That's what I'm locked up for. Verse 2, "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you," word. In other words, this dispensation can translate time or it can translate stewardship. In this case, it means God gave him a stewardship concerning the mystery, the revelation of the first earth age, this one and the one to come. And he gave it to Paul because Paul was the greatest and God just loved Paul. No. So he could deliver it to you, word. That is to say, to the people he's teaching here, the Ephesians at Ephesus. Verse 3. "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote of four and few words." Where was this? Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 25, he speaks of that mystery. Well, what was that mystery? It was the first earth age, which is a mystery to most people because they have no idea, no conception. These Bible thumpers will go around saying, this earth is 6,000 years old. They have no idea of the dispensations of time when science documents the earth is millions of years old. So does this word if you know how to read it. If you take the blinders off and look at the mystery, listen to Paul, listen to the other prophets and apostles, and you can learn a great deal concerning time, God's plan, and God has a purpose. There's a reason we have three earth ages. You might, let's just say a word about that. Why would God want three earth ages? Well, he could have had one and just smoked a third of his children. Just, you think you could kill a third of your children? Just without giving an opportunity they were following Satan. They were lost. They were unfit. God could have killed them in that first earth age, as it is written, that followed Lucifer. But instead, he destroyed the age and then caused each of us, as he would say, "Let us create man in our image," plural, Elohim, meaning let's make him look just like you look in the angelic body or the spiritual body, so you will be in the flesh, and you will be born innocent of woman to make your mind up whether you're going to love God or Satan. It's all your boat. You're sailing it. You put her on the rocks you go. You keep her out in free sailing and helping others, and so you have God's blessings. the mystery of God's overall plan, he sent a savior. He wanted to save that third plus others that just didn't, they didn't care. He did have the election that he chose before the foundation that did stand, and he will interfere in their lives today. Because as it is written in Romans chapter 8, they are already justified, though they do pay for their sins. Verse 4 to continue. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And so it is that really, when you understand the three earth ages, it takes away the mystery. It takes away the reason Christ was sent. Yeshua, which is to say Yahweh, our Father's Savior, to save his children. Well, why did he do that? Because he loves his children. He loves all of his children. He loves every race. He created the races as they are. There's no accidents. And he loves them as they are. And the Savior was sent to one and all that would believe upon him. It does not take away from the duties of each to his people. But so it is that mystery that, let me ask you a question. What was Paul's desire? I mean, we got Paul saying, I brought this, I'm a teacher. What was Paul's desire on the road to Damascus that day, as you can read in Romans, in Acts chapter 9? Was to kill Christians. I mean, in chapter 7 of Acts, they did kill Stephen. And Paul, he had a letter in his pocket from the high priest to destroy the Christian church in Damascus, right in Syria. And on that road, God struck him down, and Christ gave him that revelation. I mean, this one Paul taken to the third earth age, even if you would, the third heaven age, I should say. And he saw and observed and learned things that can't even be expressed today. God cut it off from him. But then he does, in this letter, share many of these things with us. Let's continue, next verse. And the next verse, verse 5, reads, when in other ages, now we're getting there, the first earth age was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Well, what Spirit is that? Well, the Holy Spirit. I mean, it certainly wasn't made clear earlier. But through the Holy Spirit, well, then how long can we say that was really known then? Well, when did the Holy Spirit come? You can kind of judge by that. That's how it was delivered. The Holy Spirit has always been with us. But the Comforter, that role of the Holy Spirit, do not let that confuse you, did not happen until 40 days after Christ was crucified. I'm sorry, 50 days after Christ was crucified. On the 50th day, that's Pentecost in the Greek tongue, the Holy Spirit, the cloven tongue, came. That means that the apostles on that day spoke in every language of the world. It wasn't hidden. It wasn't unknown. The mystery was, I don't care what you spoke, you understood what they said. It wasn't they that were speaking, but the Holy Spirit. So there are not many mysteries when you let God's word speak for itself and you see the clarity and the simplicity in which our Father's love works for his children. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Do you remember the last verse of the last chapter where it said, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit? The many-membered body. He wanted all of his children included within that. The ethnos takes in all of the house, aside from the Adamic offspring, that is would be in Isaac, is the seed called. Everyone, whomsoever will. That promise is there for the taking. You know what it's called? It's called love from our Father. Because he does love his children. He doesn't love what they do often, but he does love them. Verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift, that's charis, the charisma, of the grace of God, that's to say the unmerited favor of God, the love of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. His power for what? Why would he give me all this power? To do his will, to do God's will. He didn't use that power for foolishness. He didn't use it for self reasons. He used it in the plan of God. When God gives gifts, that's what they're given for. Not for self, but for the whole body. So that they can learn and build and grow strong. Strong in what? In our Father, which is to say in his love. Because his habitation is right with us through the Comforter, that is to say, the Holy Spirit. And there you have it, that God loves all of his children, and that power is there. Do you realize that in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, when God, through the Son, would say, hey, Satan's going to fall from heaven like a star, like a misguided child. He's going to fall to this earth. But that's his Antichrist in the future. But I give you power over all of your enemies. So you don't want to be a wimp, because God gives you that power in Christ's name, to where the evil one will run from you, will be afraid of you because of the power of the living God through the Son that brings it. How precious it is. Now, next verse, please. Go with verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, that's the set aside ones, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And so it is that, why did he think he was least of all the saints? Because he was persecuted the church terribly. Paul had one thing, that when he was wrong, he was really wrong. Why? Because he was so zealous. I mean, he didn't take Christianity and just say, I'll go to church, sure, and I'll study a little bit. He was in it 100%. He was zealous. He was ready to do something about it. He was ready to share the good news. And so it was that he had likewise been so very zealous in destroying the church. And then Christ met him that day. Paul never really got over that. Never really. I'm going to say he forgave himself because of the way God used him, but he did mention more than once how he was least of all because he had persecuted the church. He was guilty of that. But knowing God's total forgiveness. Verse 9, to continue. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. I have to make a correction. You're not going to be able to do it with your Strong's Concordance. You have to go to the manuscripts. But this word fellowship is added. It should be dispensation of time, because we're talking about ages here. To make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery, the ages of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, that age hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. All through the ages, the Spirit was with God. Why? It's God's Spirit. And the Son was with him. How precious it is when you know there was an age before this. Are you beginning to see the hidden mystery? There was no great mystery about it when you see truth. Truth alleviates anxiety. Man only fears the unknown. And once you see the truth and you see the simplicity in which our Father's love is brought two upon and four men, all men, then certainly that love increases within you, and you better understand His word. So the word fellowship, I mean, it'll fly, but it's still, it takes away from the fact that we're talking about ages here that is hidden. And maybe that's why God allows that to be hidden just a little bit for the unbeliever to still not know. I'm talking about three earth ages. And so it is. Verse 10, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, not earth, I'm talking about in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, the very saving power of Almighty God. What's in heaven now? Well, there are bad principalities there also. Satan is there, as it is written in Revelation chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. He is there being helped by Michael, but he will be cast down. But when you see those spheres in heaven, and you see what's happening there as well as here, then it opens up a vast amount of understanding and love for our Father, that He doesn't leave us hanging out without knowledge. You see, that's why He sent us this letter, letting you know beforehand what comes down upon our people, whereby you are prepared to take the gift God gives you and make a stand. Stand for the truth rather than standing for nothing. Many of you are going to have to worry about it. If you don't make that stand, you're going to fall for Satan, because he is coming, and most people will think he is Christ. That's why he's called instead of Christ, or in English, Antichrist. There are many ways that God touches his people, but primarily that many-membered body, if you're a part of it. If you're not, don't worry. There's an easy way to join. Talk to him. Then that spirit does touch you. It raises you up. It holds you up. It encourages you. Verse 11. According to the eternal purpose, which is purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, from the very beginning, this saving plan was put in motion by Almighty God. You know, many people concerning these ages of time, you see, they will read and they'll say, well, Paul was taken to the third heaven. That's not what the manuscripts say. Paul was taken to the third heaven age. You see, there is only one heaven and there's only one earth that we're concerned with. But there are three heavenly ages, and there are three earth ages. Those that you are to be concerned with, that God allows us to be familiar with at this time. And Peter himself, many might say, well, Paul's sure biting off a chunk here. Why would God just let him know? That's not true. God let many know. He let Peter know about the three earth ages, and Peter makes it very clear, probably the best place in God's word, 2 Peter chapter 3, where Peter says, if you're familiar with the prophets and the apostles, you know everything. You should know everything that God would have you know right now. You would not be ignorant of the fact that the first earth age was destroyed by water. And it's not talking about Noah's flood. It's talking about the Kathabo, the overthrow of Satan, and how that you would not be ignorant in verse 8 of the fact that one day with God is as 1,000 years with man. Therefore, the Lord's day is 1,000 years. The Lord's day is the millennium, and that millennium is coming. You would not be ignorant of that. And then when this earth age ends, Peter makes it very clear that the elements, that is against God, will be destroyed. But this earth remains. And God establishes his kingdom right here on this earth. He made a everlasting eternal covenant with the geographical location of Zion in the 16th chapter of Ezekiel. He wed her and made that eternal marriage, so to speak, to establish his kingdom there. You see, heaven is wherever God is. But when Peter describes these three earth ages, who does he give credit basically for that? Let's read verse 15 of that third chapter when he tells about the three earth ages and three heaven ages. Verse 15 of chapter 3, 2 Peter, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. In other words, he's got a lot of patience and he waits on people so they can be saved. Even as our beloved brother Paul. Now this is Peter giving credentials to Paul. Don't read over that. Our brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, these three earth ages, in which are some things hard to be understood. To some they are. They're ignorant of the word. Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. They have trouble understanding it. As they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. And so you see, there's nothing hidden. Even Peter himself speaks of the three earth ages, the three heaven ages. And even Peter himself gives credentials to Paul that this wisdom was given to him, the mystery of the kingdom, the three earth ages, the three heaven ages, and the patience of Almighty God in that same third chapter of 2 Peter. God is long-suffering, meaning he has lots of patience, that all men will come to repentance. Will they? Answer, no. But it's there for them if they so choose. How precious the word of God and how precious it is that our Father brings us these truths that cannot be denied and expressed especially by the Holy Spirit when you believe, when he touches you, when he touches your life, it changes it. And we can understand why. The kingdom is of God and God is with us. Now, returning to the third chapter of Ephesians, let's pick it up with the next verse, verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Christ only has made it possible that we can approach our Father. Why? He's sitting at the right hand of God. All you have to do is talk to him. You don't have to have a preacher. You don't have to have a priest. The veil is rent. Come on in. The Holy of Holies. Talk to him. And so it is. Verse 13. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. I'm in prison here, and though they have roughed me up a little bit, I don't want it to worry you. I want it to encourage you because of the truth I brought to you, the love of the living God. Enjoy it. Take it. The power of God. Use it. Grow in it. Where are you rooted? Wherever you're rooted and whatever you're rooted in is the plant you will end up being. You plant yourself in bad soil, you better rip it back up, replant it, and repot it, and get in good soil. That means the Word of God. And because if you root yourself in wickedness or in ignorance, guess what kind of plant you got? It's obvious. Our Father makes all things possible and gives you the way. Next verse, 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this reason, for his plan, for his forgiveness, and for his love, how can you help but bow your head and your knee to the living God? that he saw fit to create you different than anyone else. Your DNA is different. Your fingerprints are different. You're unique. He wanted you. But he wants you to love him. And he made all these things possible that you could be fitted into that building, that many-membered body that loves the Lord Jesus Christ and that promotes that love all around you, that it catches on, that it explodes and expands, because you are rooted in that building that will always be in that chief cornerstone, which is Christ himself. Verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And so it is. Of our Father. He is the Father of all. Patra. He is the Father of every living being. He created every soul. And that is the family in heaven and in earth, united in him. 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That is to say, by the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit can strengthen your inner man. Well, really, what would the inner man be? Well, what is your outer man? It's flesh. Your inner man is your spiritual body. And as it is written in Ephesians chapter 12, when this flesh body, the old pot breaks and the cord parts, instantly the inner man, the spirit man, returns to the Father that gave it. That's the real you. And this body goes back to dust from whence it came. How our Father loves his children. And do you understand what that body is, that inner man? It is your eternal body. It's not a passing thing. It's forever. Now, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. How was that again? By faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. Love is the soil in which you plant yourself, and it brings forth the faith, and you're rooted in it. Again, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Faith is believing. You either have faith and believe, or you don't. There's no such thing as a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You either have all faith or all belief, or you don't. And that wonderful, marvelous love that you grow in, it expands, it reaches out, it touches people. It's the Spirit of God welded in within you, that your spirit meshed with his and a part of the many-membered body. It's well-rooted eternally. 18. May be to comprehend with all saints, that's to say the set aside ones, God's elect, what is the breadth and length and depth and height? Can you answer that? How his love, can you answer that? No, you can't. Because it is eternally fantastic. Our Father puts up with so much. There are many times he could have just snuffed out stubbornness, stiff-neckedness, just snuffed it out. No, he's long-suffering. He loves his children. He's got patience. That love cannot be measured. Are you growing in it? Are you rooted in it? Your Father's love. 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God, rooted in it, growing up in it, and also not only rooted in the Father and his love, but the love of Christ, that is to say the Savior he sent that paid the price on the cross so that you could repent and be forgiven of your sins. Friend, that is real love. That's not playing games. That's the only forgiveness there is in this earth that is eternal. Verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It's hard to, that all you can dream or hope for, that power is there. And the time is coming when we're going to use it. That is to say, against the false one. How precious the living word of God, that he trusts you enough that when you have that faith and you're rooted in him, not somewhere else, in him, that he can release that power to you, not for self, but to utilize to help others, to be that election. That's what the elect are, election, to help, to raise up, to lift, and to let people know there is a God in heaven. There sure is. He's our Father, and we're his family. Verse 21 to complete the chapter. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And there you have what ages? All three of them. That it is his church. It won't change. Times will change. Ages change. First age, second age, third age, with all the dispensations of time filling in between. The time of salvation, the millennium, the great millennium, and then the great white throne judgment. All those particular dispensations of time fitting into those three earth and heaven ages. World without end. It'll never end. It's eternal. That's why I say you're not playing church. You're serving the living God, the creator of all things. As Paul said, amen, I'll second it. Amen. That's that. That's the way it is. There is no mystery in God when you have eyes to see and ears to hear and to understand the love of your Father toward you. Don't forget to return it to him. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible is an invaluable tool to the serious Bible student. The Strong's Concordance lists every word used in the Bible and every passage where the word utilized may be found in the Scriptures. With the assistance of a reference numbering system, the English reader may easily translate any word back to the original Hebrew, Chaldee, or Greek in which God's word was written. The Companion Bible is a unique study Bible. In addition to the text of the King James Version Bible, an extra wide margin contains a wealth of information not found in other Bibles. A system of structures or outlines employed by the Companion Bible will allow the readers to rightly divide the Bible. The use of these structures help the reader follow the subject matter, and therefore they are critical to an understanding of God's Word. The 198 appendixes found in the Bible cover a wide variety of topics and information which will enlighten your studies. The Companion Bible and Strongest Concordance are a must for the serious Bible student.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves, got a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about some reverend, denomination, or organization. We do not judge people. We've got one judge, that's a Father. And he says, leave that to me. That's real easy to do, just leave it to him. You do have spiritual discernment, which allows you to decide whether something is true, you should listen or not listen. That's also a gift from God. Never fail to use it and pray for that wisdom of spiritual discernment, the good from the bad. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Now, got a prayer request? You don't need the number or an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. You don't even have to say it out loud. No one but nobody can ever prevent you from praying, because they won't even know you are, because you don't have to say it out loud, and God knows what you're thinking. He is the cardio knower. He knows your mind. So let him know that you love him. He loves you. He may not love what you do all the time, but he does love you. That's why he sent us this letter. Always thank him for that. Won't you do that? Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. Debbie from Ohio. I have, thank you for your comments. I have a question I'd like to, an answer if possible. My mother passed recently, and I would like to know if when we pass and are with the Father, do we know the mistakes we made here on earth? When we are washing our robes, are we enlightened to the wrongs we have done? My mother was a good Christian woman, but she enabled her, my brother. It is, you know, mothers have one weakness, and it is that they are very overlooking to certain children, always hoping and praying. But yet at the same time, sometimes that motherly love can enable. That is, I see both sides of that, because motherhood is such a beautiful, wonderful thing. But at the same time, she knows, father has, and no doubt prays for that same thing. Don't you worry about it. She loves you much. Goldie from Pennsylvania. My question is, I never knew or have seen my grandparents on both sides or even pictures of them. Will I know them in eternal life? Of course you will. You see, you don't know them, but they know you. And because they know you, as it is written in the great book of Ezekiel in chapter 44, verses 20 through 25, in spirit bodies, we do recognize our loved ones. They will know you, and they will remind you. Dear Arnold Murray, Michael from New Jersey, I did an in-depth study with you on the end times. I need proof in Scripture that the devil, Satan, Lucifer, whatever name you may call him, is chained behind the chair of the Lord Jesus in captivity by the Archangel Michael or other angels to release as he approaches. Well, that's real simple. If you know, in Revelation chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, Michael, the Archangel, throws out Satan and all his angels from heaven. He's holding them there. And it calls Satan by every name in that 6th and 7th verse of Revelation 12. And then every deed from the serpent in the garden all the way down to the dragon at the end, every operation, his name is given for that particular phase of his operation. You can learn a great deal of knowledge from that particular place. That's your proof. It's the last two woe trumps. Woe. And that's when you want to be real careful. Robert from Missouri. Is there anywhere in the Bible that specifically says Adam was created on the eighth day? Eth ha-Adam. I have to say it in Hebrew. Adam was created on the sixth day. Eth ha-Adam was created on the eighth day. I'm quoting manuscripts here. That's what the manuscripts say. Eth ha-Adam is used in one other place because God said, let us create man in our image. He included himself, which meant Christ. So Eth ha-Adam is used there along with Adam. But the man Adam, Eth ha-Adam, was created after Christ rested the seventh day, and then he created from the helix curve, not the rib, a man's got every rib he ever had, but he took the feminine DNA from Adam, Eth ha-Adam, and brought Eve forth through which Christ would come. That's why it is written, Eve is the mother of all living. Because you are either in Christ or you're not living eternally. You're going to hell. Okay, so I'm not judging anyone. That's just the way the word reads it. Wanda, from you that are not scholars in the word, if you get the video of me teaching the first six chapters of Genesis, you are taught the Hebrew manuscripts, the difference in Adam and Eth Ha'adam, whereby you can read it for yourself. Wanda from Alabama, my granddaughter is autistic. Does God forgive these those children for not being able to know him? She prays and everything, and I try to help her. Does God? She's innocent. She knows him. She may not talk about him to where it would suit you, but it does him. Christ said, don't forbid the little children to come to me. Don't ever. Because they're innocent. He loves them. And they are so teachable. That's why Christ loved them so much. He wanted everyone to be like one of them. Why? If a child loves you and trusts you, they will believe anything you say if you'll document it. An adult may not do that, but a child will ask many questions and will believe. And that's why he said many times, you've got to become as this child. Gene from, but they're innocent. Don't you worry about it. God takes care of the innocent. Besides, in the millennium, we're in spiritual bodies and there is no illness. Gene from Minnesota. I'm asking a question regarding the food laws in the Old Testament. I've been told that they are no longer apply. Is there a place in the New Testament that tells us that they still apply today? Absolutely. Acts chapter 10, many people think this, you know, God sent down three sheets of unclean food and told Peter to eat. And Peter said, I'm not going to do it, Father. He disobeyed God. And then if you read closely, God finally took the filth, the scavengers away. And said, I'm not talking about food. I'm saying don't call some Gentile common or unclean, not Babel. But at this same time, Cornelius' people were approaching the gate of Peter for him to go convert the whole house. They were believers. But it had nothing to do with food. It was, don't you call Gentiles common. Now, your main place where God makes it very clear through a great writer in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, in verse 3. Don't ever let anyone judge you in marriage. If you're forgiven of all your sins, you're free. Or in food, in receiving those things that God, listen to me, verse 3, this is what's important, in receiving those foods God created to be received. God did not create scavengers to be received. Therefore, they are still taboo. You want to be sick? Go ahead and eat scavengers. They will make you sick. It'll go on and say, all animals are good. They are. God created scavengers to keep the disease and filth consumed off this earth so we don't get sick. But for heaven's sakes, after they have consumed the filth, that's what scavengers do. Then you go get the scavenger and rip it out and eat it. What do you think you're eating? And you expect that to be healthy? Of course it's not. So the New Testament does not change any part of the law. It fulfills it. Our bodies are the same from the time of Adam up to this same time. They haven't changed, and our food hasn't changed, and God hasn't changed. Silver from Georgia. It seems like I've got two here. I guess not. Yes, I do. I'm about to miss somebody. Silver from Georgia. I'm having dialysis breaking. Is having dialysis breaking God's law as far as blood is concerned? I would like clarification regarding blood transfusions and so forth. God's word has nothing to do with blood transfusions. Dialysis is a life-saving procedure. All dialysis does is it puts a mechanical kidney that removes the poisons from your system. What could be a sin in that? Absolutely not. Now, but why does God say, you shall not partake of the blood? It's health laws. It means that when you kill a clean animal to eat, do not eat the animal unless you have bled it. Because you see, in that day, they did not have refrigeration. And even to this day, when you butcher an animal properly, you bleed that animal. The minute it is dead, you hit that heart or the jugular and you bleed that animal out, because blood pollutes the flesh to where it won't keep. Okay. So that's all God was saying. It means don't eat a chicken unless you wring its neck and let it bleed out. Okay? And many of you mean God said you could eat a chicken? Well, he sent quail in the wilderness. What do you think? Eddie from Illinois. In order to be saved, does a person... I know a lot of people are going to say, well, but don't you know that chicken eat grasshoppers? Prophets eat grasshoppers too. That's locusts. Okay? So food laws are good. They're not going to... Breaking a food law won't send you to hell, but it can sure make you sick. Eddie from Illinois. In order to be saved, does a person need to repeat the prayer that a pastor says about Jesus being our Savior? Is that prayer somewhere in the Bible? I prefer to just simply talk to God, tell him who you are, and he knows, and that you want to repent of any sin you've ever done, and you love him, you want him to forgive those sins, and to bring salvation in your heart. Christ paid an awesome price. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever will believe upon him shall not perish. That means go to hell, but will have eternal life. If you believe, then you are saved. Ricky from Illinois, how can I break free from my cycle of drug use? I just can't seem to get out. I love God and I want to get through this. Thank you. Ricky, only you can do it. You have to want to quit. I could talk to you and many other people could talk to you, but until you're ready to talk to yourself, I might just give you a thought. The word sorcerer in the Greek is pharmacia, which means druggies. There's not going to be any in heaven. Now, I know that kind of comes as a shock to some people. It's real easy to prove me wrong. All you have to do is read Revelation chapter 21, where there's no sorcerers there. Take your Strong's Concordance and check out the word sorcerer. It's pharmacia. It's druggies. Okay. And you're not going to make it. The first thing Satan's going to do when he comes as Antichrist is offer you a hit. And if you have that weakness, are you going to take it from Satan knowing what the price is, or are you going to stand up like a man and a child of God? So you have to want to. Satan would like to take you over. Are you available? Or are you a man of God that can stand up for what is right and let the world see what a man of God looks like? I'll be praying that you get a hold of your bootstraps and you pick yourself up and you start acting like a man of God. Stop running around with people or being around people that use them. Find some new friends. Damian from Texas. Pastor Murray, every time I watch your word, I am astounded in the fact that it feels like you're talking exactly to me. Is that connecting with the true word of God, or is it just delusional for me because it feels real. No, the word's written to you. And there's nothing wrong with that. You don't feel bad about it. Or feel guilty about it. You don't have to. The word is written to you. You're a child of God, and God loves you. Donald, what? I don't know where Donald's from. What is the soldier's prayer? The soldier's prayer you will find in Psalms 144. What does the soldier's prayer say? It says, Father, give me the strength to overcome and put my enemy under my feet and to destroy him. That's the soldier's prayer. What is an enemy? It's an enemy of God, enemy of Christians. Bob from New York, what does the word Adamic mean and where can I find it? Well, it means offspring of Adam, okay? So what does Adam mean? Adam is a Hebrew word and it means ruddy complected. It means to be able to show blood in the face. And that's what the Adamic people are, ruddy complected. And that's what the word means. Well, is that, now, brother, you've just made a racial statement. No, I haven't. I've told the truth. That's what the word means. God is the one that called it that. And he doesn't have to apologize for it. And if you do, you probably are so wrapped up in political correctness that you're probably going to miss the whole boat anyway. So there you go. That's what the word means. And I'm not talking to Bob. I'm talking about people that might say that. Susan from Mississippi, what happens to your bones when you die? Do they get raised up when the graves are opened? And where does it say that in the Bible? Thank you. It doesn't say that in the Bible. Okay. As it is written in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6, your spiritual body returns to the Father, bones and flesh return to the dust from which they came. Whether they're cremated or whether they just are buried, they go back to dirt, you're through with it. You have a beautiful spiritual body that never ages, never gets sick. Why in the world would you ever want your old bones to come up? It isn't written that they will. It's written quite the opposite, that they return to dirt from which they come. For everything you participate in food, comes from the earth, and back to the earth it shall go. Irene from Texas, at the time of Adam, of Eve, were there other races? Where can I find this? Yes, on the sixth day God created all the races. You know, I don't know why people think that's such a mystery. Look around you, the races are all here today. We know genetically it's impossible for all of the races to have come from two people. And then when you read the manuscripts, you see that God created all the races on the sixth day, and he looked and it was good. God is happy with every race, but he wants them like they are. Okay. Then he rested the seventh day, and then he created, as I said earlier, Eth Ha'adam. Cheryl from Oregon, I feel like Satan keeps attacking me. What is the right way to keep Satan away from me? Study the Word of God and go to Luke chapter 10, verse 19, and know that Christ has given you in Christ's name. In your name, it won't cut it. They'll eat you up. But in Christ's name, if you anoint the post of your home, order anything negative out of your home, in Christ's name, And in Christ's name, I mean, take charge. I mean, you are a daughter of the living God. And he's given you that power. In Christ's name, don't be afraid to use it. I mean, sometimes you have to get rough with evil spirits as a junkyard dog, you know, to somebody trying to break in. You don't put up with anything from Satan, but you do it in Christ's name. Luke chapter 10, verse 19, read forward. Diane from California. Do the elect people know who they are in today's world? Not necessarily, and it's not that important. God's going to use them anyway. But most of them do. because they search for truth. They want to know about the first earth age, this one and the one coming. They know they were chosen in the first earth age. The key, basically, is do they know the false Christ comes first? And are they going to make a stand? If they are, then they're pretty well of God's elect, or they're one of the kings and queens of the ethnos, which is the same thing. They're going to stand also. Keith from Michigan, how many heavens are there? One. There's only one heaven, but as in today's lecture, there are three heavenly ages. Heaven, quite frankly, is wherever God is. God's going to come to earth, and then heaven will be on earth. Document that, I'd be happy to. It's written in Revelation chapter 21 and 2. Don from Ohio, could you please elaborate on the four angels bound in the Euphrates? Love you a lot. Well, thank you. You find that concerning the sixth trump, which means it's the preparation of the coming of the false Christ. It is written there at that sixth trump in the book of Revelation that release the four angels bound in the river Euphrates to the east. Okay. Which means Kedim in the Hebrew. It means looking east. What's east? Iran, Syria in part, not Syria, but Pakistan, Afghanistan, many of the places where the swarm takes place today. That's what it means. Bound means they're bad angels, not good. I'm out of time. I love you all because you enjoy studying God's word. Most of all, Father does. We're brought to you by your tithes and offering. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, I want you to listen to me, and I want you to listen good. You stay in his word every day, and his word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. The epistles of John, three letters written by the Apostle John, that disciple whom Jesus loved. The tenderness of John's writings is marked by the number of times he begins the exhortations and warnings with, "My little children," or "little children." In fact, "little children" is written seven times in the first epistle alone. The contents of the first epistle are practical teaching in the light of the love of God. God is life, is light, is truth, is righteous, is love. And we have fellowship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. The tenderness and love of John's writing continues in the second epistle as he encourages the elect lady and her children to love one another. He also writes, "This is love, that we walk after his commandments." After these words of encouragement, John warns us that there are many deceivers entered into the world and explains how to identify these deceivers. Don't miss this opportunity to study the Epistles of John with Pastor Arnold Murray.
Gravette, Arkansas, this is Shepherd's Chapel with Pastor Arnold Murray. Join with us now as Pastor Murray takes you on a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter, line-by-line study in God's Word. Now, here's Pastor Murray.
All right, good day to you. God bless you. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this Family Bible Study Hour. Say, we're going to go into a special subject today, and there you have it on your screen, discernment. It's very important that you be aware and have the, we'll even call it a gift of discernment. Discernment and judgment walk along hand in hand. That's not to say that you are to judge someone, but